Today we reflect on a moment in time, a moment in history that changed history forever. And yet at the same time was not this day an easy day, and today even not an easy one to reflect on well. Together we read from the Word of God, together we sit and worship, together we come to the Lord in prayer, and we reflect on really what was a tragically brutal injustice. We think about the brutality, we think about the injustice, we think about just how wrong and how costly the crucifixion was for our God. The Creator and the Redeemer of the world, flogged and rejected by his very creation. Crown of thorns placed upon his head. A purple robe placed over his body. Both of these things married by the words of mockery, engaging him as quote-unquote king. To read in Matthew's gospel of soldiers and Romans who dressed him like a king in mockery and called out, "Hail, King of the Jews." To hear Pilate present him up for death, declaring, "Behold, your king." To see as those who crucified him took the time to write in three different languages on a sign that would be placed above his head, "King of the Jews." And then from the foot of the cross, to hear soldiers cry out again in mockery, "He saved others, he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him." There's a tragic irony that abounds on this day. Irony in this, that he was in fact the very King of Kings. That in the voice and in the posture and in the heart of those who mocked was one of the most striking and life-changing truths that has ever touched humanity. The King of Kings was there in front of him. In their mind, there's no way that could be true, or he would come down off that cross. What they didn't understand, and the irony of it is that he was on that cross because of the kind of king that he is. They can't understand how to hang on a cross, to go to such a shameful end, such a powerless place, to lay one's life down could in any way be a kingly act. And the irony is, coming down off that cross would have been the most unkingly act. There's an irony on this day in that those who deserved judgment and death condemn the one who doesn't deserve it on any level to that very thing. Crucify him. Crucify him. There's a tragic irony in this day in that all along, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy is being fulfilled. And all around him, the experts in the scriptures don't catch it at all. Struck in a fresh way by our reading from Isaiah today. And look just at a couple of the verses that Catherine read for us. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6 says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here in Isaiah, there is this striking collision. The striking collision of two realities at the very same time. And we witness it in its fulfillment hundreds of years after this prophecy is written on the cross. As Jesus comes to the cross, we see that which God showed to Isaiah hundreds of years before in the flesh, coming to its fullness. And so as we reflect on Isaiah 53, it's very right to, as it's read, think of Jesus, to have all of these prophetic statements conjure up the moment that happened on this Good Friday. 53 verse 4 starts with this word, surely. Like it's for sure, uncontested. It's true. That he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Do you have grief and sorrow today? Do you look around the world and see grief and sorrow around you? Surely he has borne every one of them. And as today on this Good Friday we look to the cross, it is right for our hearts to be pulled into this. Surely. But then the second half of the verse starts with another word. It says, yet. Surely he has done this, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The striking collision of the surely and the yet. The next two verses that I read, verses 5 and the first part of verse 6, capture these two things well. Surely he was pierced for our transgressions. Crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Surely he has done more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever grasp or understand. Surely he has done more than enough to set us free, to bring us salvation. Yet, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. As I was reading the Passion accounts over the last couple of weeks, just in the daily office lectionary, we actually got to the end of the Gospel of Matthew about a month ago and was reading through those. And it, as I reflected on them, it began to hit me, and I found myself a bit arrested by it personally. Reading the Passion accounts this year, I have actually found myself convicted again in a fresh way. Especially and particularly as I considered the treatment of Jesus at the hands of the Romans and the Jews. As I read the accounts of the crown of thorns and the robe placed on him, but not in a right heart, but in a totally wrong one, in a mocking tone. As the creation slapped the Creator and called him names and eventually crucified him, brought him to his death, I began to recognize myself in their actions. I think it's important that on a Good Friday, there be an honesty about our hearts and a humility with which we can recognize that there's a good chance that on that day in history, we may not have fared well. But even just to recognize that here today in my life, the very sins that he took to the cross, I am often partaking in. How quickly we are to move in a similar heart and posture to those who brought Jesus to his death. how quickly we are to move when we find ourselves blinded by our suffering. Or blinded by our own sufficiency, our own plans for our salvation. When we think we've got it all figured out and our pride becomes loud enough that we're actually not able to see our inability and His ability. Too often, when things don't go our way, we're tempted to turn on God. But Good Friday reminds us of something important. In the midst of a life that is hard and that moves on all kinds of parts of us and in all kinds of ways to tempt us away from God, Good Friday reminds us that even when all that we can see is that things are not as they should be, when all that we can see and potentially even feel overwhelmed by injustice, by abuse, by true suffering, and by an utter lack, when it appears that in our lives battles are being lost and maybe even feels like the ultimate battle has been lost, and we begin to feel lost, angry, confused, offended, that right there in those moments, just as it was on that Good Friday, as our Lord and Savior hung upon a cross and breathed His last, God is likely up to more than we can see. In fact, right there in the hardest of moments, those that evade our understanding, He is very likely up to the necessary. So we've come to refer to a day of such potent and sobering content, the word good. That this Friday is good. Let me read you a poem entitled "Blessing for a Broken Vessel." Hear this morning. Hear this as we continue through this day. Do not despair. You hold the memory of what it was to be whole. It lives deep in your bones. It abides in your heart that has been torn and mended 100 times. It persists in your lungs that know the mystery of what it means to be full, to be empty, to be full again. Not asking you to give up your grip on the shards that you clasp so close to, but to wonder, what would it be like for those jagged edges to meet each other in some new pattern that you have never dared to dream? Friends, Good Friday, the cross invites us to come close. Every time we come to this Friday in our yearly cycle, we are reminded of the invitation of God to the foot of the cross. And to come to the foot of the cross as we are, to bring with us the things that we should be carrying, but to bring with us the things that we shouldn't be or desperately would love to let go of. And to there at the foot of the cross, as we sit with the reality of life and the depth and grand nature of our need for a Savior, to come to a fresh understanding of this, of why such a dark day has come to be known as good. If we come back to Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We like sheep now watch as he, the sacrificial lamb, goes to the cross for us. as what Isaiah later will refer to as an offering for our guilt. Verses 11 and 12 of Isaiah 53 say, "By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, Jesus, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Friends, there was no way out from under what you were under. There's no way to go back and to do what many days we wish we could, which is to redo the day or to wipe it clean. And so God came and did what only he could do. And he miraculously did what shouldn't be possible. And the righteous one who hung on the cross now makes many to be accounted righteous. Friends, do you know that because of this day, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are righteous? What a grand collision when we have also already took time today to think about our own sin, about our own brokenness, about our own complicity. This day is not just good, it's really good. For he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors.